the leader that defines the way. Find yourself and others with strategic change. This is The Path to Success. Broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Growth Matters.
Well, good morning. Here we are for another edition of Growth Matters, and we're all sort of ready for the weekend. And so we've got a great topic that just flows right with that, Kevin. So today we have Red Hair Brewing Company with us.
I'm excited.
And we have Roger Davis, who's the managing partner, and we're going to learn a little bit more about how he got into it and all the success that they're having. And then we also have Novellus, who is and we have Eric Anderson, who's the director of marketing, and they have a partnership in that they work together to provide the first launch of Evercan, which is the world's first certified high recycle content aluminum for the beverage industry. That's a mouthful, first thing. But we're going to want to learn a little bit more about that. So we've got, Kevin, great beer, and we're also doing good to the earth. Yeah.
Can't beat that right there, especially for a Friday.
We can't. So for those that maybe haven't heard about Red Hair, Roger, why don't you tell us a little bit about your brewery and where your focus is.
Sure. We actually started in my basement about 8 years ago. Started on my kitchen stove. A friend of mine that used to work for me, actually, a young guy, got me interested in trying to do some craft beers, and we just started one Saturday afternoon watching football. At the time, I was working for a company based out of Finland, traveling a good bit, decided not to make the mandated move to Minnesota. And so I just got down in my basement and said, well, let's just keep making beer, and you keep your day job, Bobby, and if we can figure out how this works, maybe we'll do this. And now we're in about 11,000 square feet. We produced about 750.6 barrels of beer last month, which is a record for us. That's about 3,000 cases of beer. So there's where we are.
So have you always been a beer lover? I mean, what sort of prompted that?
I've always been a beer drinker. To say I loved beer, I guess I did and didn't know it. But now the deeper we've gotten into this project, we started doing it professionally just about 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years this summer. And now we're just, this is all we think of, is how to make the beer, how to get the beer out to people, what will people like, so... It's just what we do all the time now.
So it's one of the things that Kevin and I love. We have people here each week talking about their businesses and what they do. And when you can marry the passion of something that you like along with the business idea, that's just a very much a win-win.
Definitely.
Yeah. So also for those people that maybe do not drink beer, I understand that Red Hair has other products. So just kind of tell us a little bit about your product line and give our listeners a sense of that.
Yeah. Well, no, we are a brewery. That's what we do. We brew beer. But about 8 or 9 months ago, one of our distributors came to us and said, I think there's a place out there for draft carbonated beverages, craft brewed. I see them at different restaurants, and they're not in a package. And naturally, the first one was root beer. So we started playing around with some recipes and different things and kept looking into it, got the USDA involved so they could give us our clearance, and we sent it out, and that's become a very popular product. We were looking at some point in the future of maybe packaging that product also in our cans, because our cans are so portable and easy for everyone to take out and use. And it's sort of virgined from a little small egg into a big one now. And I think I was saying earlier, we're going to be cooking more root beer tomorrow.
I love it. Like I said before the show, it's my favorite drink. That's weird for a brewery. They're like, well, what's your favorite thing from Red Hair? I'm like, well, actually, that root beer is amazing. All their beers are good. It can be like a family day event. You can go out on a picnic. The kids can be drinking Red Hair sodas, and the adults can be drinking adult beverages. So it's a family affair.
Yeah, and so you mentioned cans, so that's sort of the connection that you have, Eric, with Red Hair. So tell us a little bit about Novellus and its focus, and then we can hear a little bit about how you started your partnership with Red Hair.
Well, wonderful. Thank you for the opportunity to join you today. And certainly from a Novellus perspective, we are a global aluminum sheet manufacturer. So to put that in layman's terms, what we do is we provide a flat sheet of aluminum, which becomes, in the end, it becomes beverage cans. So we really are a supplier to a supplier for can making. Those cans then, of course, go to a brand filler like Roger and Red Hair, which, of course, fill it with your favorite libation, and then, of course, off to the consumer for great enjoyment.
Yeah, now both of you are located in Cobb County. In fact, that's how we came to invite you to be on our show. And tell us a little bit about sort of the reach of your customer base. We're going to certainly talk about Red Hair a little bit more, but for our listeners, help us understand a little bit about the breadth and the depth of your customers.
Well, certainly. We are a large global manufacturer of aluminum. What we have been able to do is through our infrastructure, we are built out throughout North America, as well as South America, Europe, and Asia. So we are a $10 billion company, of which maybe many of your listeners haven't even heard of us because we are a supplier to a supplier. We are really focused against really two main things for our customers and in the end moving towards the consumer. One is innovation, and that certainly plays out to the EverCan concept, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But then also sustainability, which with aluminum being infinitely recyclable, has that opportunity to truly be a product that can be used over and over. In fact, with aluminum packaging, an aluminum can can become a new aluminum can in as early as 60 days, wow, as long as it is recycled.
Wow.
And it's infinitely recyclable, which means that there's no degradation of the actual aluminum. So as long as it's recycled, it can be used again and again to package Red Hair beverages.
Yeah, so before we get into EverCan, Roger, talk to us a little bit about the growth that you've experienced. I mean, certainly we're hearing a lot more about craft beers and microbrewers. Mm-hmm. But from the kitchen to the basement to the facility that you now have, give us a little tour of what that was like.
Well, it's a long and winding road. Some days I don't know how we got here. Some days we think, man, this has been really hard to get here. So, but it's all spurred on by the consumer. I mean, when we got into it, craft beer has made sort of a movement over the last 10, 12 years. There were a lot of brew pubs, that kind of thing, back in the 90s, where locals would brew beer at a restaurant and serve that beer only at that restaurant. And those things sort of didn't get the mass appeal or get out to the consumer. You couldn't take that beverage out of that brew pub. But then about 10, 12 years ago, good example, Sweetwater Brewing here in Atlanta, which everyone I'm sure knows, started about 17 years ago with Freddie Bench and those guys. And they laid the groundwork for me. We owe most every brewer here in the state now, other than the big legacy brewers, owes that to Freddie and the folks over at Sweetwater, and then the Terrapin guys came in right after that. That sort of had a connection with Sweetwater. Atlanta Brewing started early on. They're the oldest craft brewer in town. So, but in those days, craft brewing was not popular. When we got into it, the movement out west, mostly in Oregon, the Pacific Northwest, Oregon, Washington, and then into Colorado, that started moving here about 5-6 years ago, and people, I think the palate has changed. The millennials, when I started researching this to do our business plan, I told Bobby, my partner Bobby Thomas, I said, if I can think it's a sustainable business, maybe we'll start looking into it. So my months of investigation told me that during the Generation X period back in the 80s, that population didn't repopulate, or that that human base didn't repopulate. We only had a few million babies born, about 11 million. The baby boomers, for example, had 48 million babies. Well, the millennials who started producing babies in the early 90s, now through the 2000s, that group are going to produce another 49 million babies. All of a sudden, we've got a population. Well, that population's taste changed. As they became beer drinkers of age, the craft beer craze out on the West Coast had already taken hold, and they just kept bringing it east. And we just happened to get on the front end of it. I don't think it's a fad. I think it is a actual change in the palate. The growth's been phenomenal. We have not completed a full order at our place for our local distributors in over a year. We make what we can get on a package. They pick it up. And so it's not so much us. Hopefully some of the things we've done, partnering with people, some of our marketing, hopefully our beverages, word of mouth. But we've all been fed by this fertile soil that's been laid out for us.
So it sounds like definitely there's a lot of growth and I won't say luck, but being in the right place at the right time. Clearly just that story tells me that you did a lot of research and married business savviness that you had before. I guess what was the biggest surprise for you as you began to see, even within the context of that research, this product could be something that could really grow and move into the market? Was there a watershed sort of time period, or has it just been very gradual?
Yeah, I guess it really hit me, and this is kind of corny, but it did hit me. You know, we do brewery tours at the brewery for a couple hours, 3 days a week, and to see people that would actually line up at your door that didn't know you, that didn't know the brand, and they would come in and they'd want to make a picture with you, that said that there was something. It wasn't just us. We just happened to be that piece of it at that time. I remember there was a specific Saturday, and we'd been open for tours for just a month or so. It was in the fall. Beautiful day. Car pulls up. He's got a South Carolina tag on. They get out. I figure they're visiting relatives. They get out and they come in. I used to, back then, the crowds were smaller, and I would say I was always there. It was my wife at the door. It was me and Bobby. We would do the pour you the samples. We would do the tours. And I asked them, so what brings you in? She said, oh, yeah, we heard about it, and we drove down from Greenville.
Wow.
So at that minute, it started, you know, this is a much more far-reaching thing than what you would expect.
Yeah, so Eric, I think before the show you shared that you had heard about you and people in your organization had heard about Red Hair. You called on them. So what struck you that said, yeah, we would love to have them as a customer and, you know, have a strong partnership with them?
Absolutely. You know, I would say about a year ago, some colleagues of mine who were really investigating some opportunity internally for our company to actually create branded aluminum, which has now become Evercan. We started talking with local people, local companies that would have an interest. Red Hair stood out to us because of Roger's values towards aluminum. He decided when they moved from draft into packaging, to be able to provide that to retailers and, of course, to be able to consume at home, he had a genuine understanding of the sustainability aspects of aluminum. And then in addition to that, being the first brewer in the state of Georgia to utilize aluminum cans exclusively for their packaging, we said we need to go talk with them. So basically, a large organization going and talking with a small craft brewer about an opportunity to be or to be able to launch, a product that Novelis has really been focused on for several years now of segregating old used beverage cans to be able to become new sheets of aluminum so that it's certified high recycled content aluminum is what Evercan is and continues to evolve to be. It really made sense to be able to go and talk with Roger. And not necessarily to put words in Roger's mouth, but there was a lot of interest in being able to make that come together and work. So, it really just seemed like a natural partnership, a natural collaboration of his values and his culture of his organization, as well as the evolution that we're trying to focus on of sustainability and innovation, really kind of drove that opportunity.
So I love that innovation and the sustainability there together. So Roger, what as you were making those decisions, really what was prompting you and your organization to go kind of a different way than most?
Well, the aluminum can for a vehicle to carry that beverage rooted out in Colorado. Dell's Pale Ale, Oscar Blues Brewery out there sort of started that, and he's not a Colorado person. He actually was educated in Auburn University. But he saw the value in it as a pack-in, pack-out type of piece that, why make it to where there's heavy glass bottles that can't be recycled and you can't put them in your backpack on a day hike for, and to have a beverage. So he did that. We saw it. We started investigating why that was, and it's not just the portability of the package. That's a good sized piece of it, but it's a better product to hold the beer. No light gets into it, which is one of the worst things that can happen to a beer, light hitting it. Air can't get into that can. When you're using bottles through the crowns, you might get a little. So it's usability, user-friendly, being able to take it out to the parks or the pool, the golf course. As a matter of fact, we were out yesterday with some golf courses, and you can get a red hair beverage off a golf cart, which is in an ever can now, made here in Marietta, Georgia. So you don't have to buy someone else's out of the state. It can come from here. So that was that, along with it's a better package for the beer. It's better quality beer.
Yeah. So what is the sort of the biggest strategic issue that your organization is dealing with right now as you continue to grow and move forward?
Money to continue to grow. It's a very capital-rich business. Cans have made it it's not the natural tendency when people, we take them out in the brewery for tours, and when I was doing the tours, or if I still do a tour, they would ask, why are you going to go into cans and not bottles? I like out of the bottles. Are you just trying to save money going into cans cheap? I said, actually, it costs more money to put our beverage in cans than it does bottles.
Wow.
The equipment's at the time, no one had the canning equipment for a company our size. Very few angles to go at. So it was not a very competitive marketplace to get the equipment. So, and then no one else had done it. So we were having to, be a little bit of a pioneer, which sometimes it's not so good and sometimes it's okay. So but it just made sense. I mean, it made sense. It worked out well for us.
So Eric, how, when you're working with your customer base and your taking an idea that you have and you're moving it forward, what are some of the challenges with that partnership and how were you able to overcome them? As Roger just said, there was a lot of newness to this. So talk to us a little bit about Novelis' process and how it continues to be able to innovate with its customers.
Sure. I think the biggest challenge that we had after being able to talk with Roger and build a relationship with them and them really seeing the value of what we were looking to be able to do with Evercan was we are separated by a can making operation. So we provide again the aluminum sheet, which then goes to a can maker, which makes it into a functional beverage can, and then of course over to a filler like Red Hair to provide beer and out to the consumer. So we are in many cases formerly a business-to-business company. We as Novelis, we're trying to become more business-to-society with our sustainability focus. To kind of give you an example, Michelle, what we are trying to do as an overall company is to be able to continue to recycle more and more aluminum each year. In fact, globally, we recycle over 40 billion used beverage cans each and every year, which is phenomenal. It makes us the largest recycler of aluminum in the world. So based on that, what we've been able to do is, you know, segregate that aluminum specifically to use beverage cans to make a high recycled content aluminum that we can now sell to can makers. Initially, in working with, you know, our large partners and, you know, suppliers to Roger, there was some initial pushback. You know, it's new to the industry. In many cases, aluminum is considered a commodity. Why are you trying to change that mindset? Our focus, our determination as a leader within that industry is to continue to drive it forward in sustainability as well as innovation. And we've been able to do that. So we were able to continue to talk with Roger and his team, and we were able to find a can-making operation that was able to support that. And now moving forward, we've been able to introduce Evercan and this product through Roger as a first in the world. So we're proud of our partnership, and certainly I hope you know we'll continue to keep Roger and Red Hair on the pedestal of seeing a real movement in sustainability as well as innovation in aluminum.
Short answer, we didn't make enough cans. We didn't fill enough cans to get the big guys locally to do it. That's changing, though.
Yeah. So how many people work at Red Hair? You were talking about in the beginning your wife is involved.
And oh, yeah. For the first year, I mean, the first 6 months, it was just Bobby and myself. We literally didn't have one day off. We worked usually – Sunday was usually our eight-hour day. Every other day was usually 16 hours, and we did it for seven days a week for 6 months. We finally got at the point – we can't afford anyone still, but we hired some people. Now there's 12 full-time people, 15 part-time people. We are going through an expansion this summer, fall, and the first quarter of 2015. Probably will end up somewhere in the 20-person range by next year.
I might have a new profession soon.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. So you mentioned that you came to this from working and you'd been a district manager in a number of organizations. What's the biggest difference from providing leadership to a startup and something that you're really creating the path in some ways and managing in maybe an industry that has innovation but maybe isn't as nascent as the one you're in now?
Yeah. We used to my last position was director of sales for North America for Uponor, which is a worldwide company too based out of Helsinki, Finland. And we had a lot of fingers. I had about, I guess, 15 direct reports then from different regions of the country, and then they had manufacturer reps. So it was very much a structured, had to follow the protocol because these people were in all corners of the place. Now if you ask me my management style, you probably need to find me on the forklift out in the plant because there it's all about this is our product. It's not my product. It's not Bobby's. It's whoever's back there in that brewery making it. I actually took some guys out after work just a week or so ago, a couple of new guys. We have a new lab technician. He's a biochemist from Georgia Tech, young guy. Mm. Took him out and took one of our assistant brewers out and just said, hey, let's just go out and have a beer after work. They took me up on that offer. And while we were sitting there, they were both talking. They said, well, you know, I'm very proud of this job. You know, they can see that tap handle pull, and they know that they put that liquid in those vats. They know that they ran the tests on all those cultures, and there we are sitting at a bar, and they're pulling the little rabbit ears. So that's the management style now. It's an inclusive. It's not a, okay, here's the directives. Here's how you hit your mark. Now it's, here's what we're doing, guys. What do you think? And it's more of a conglomeration of people.
I love that.
Yeah. And Eric, you know, since you have that relationship, how do you view the culture or what you see as that special sort of environment that Roger's talking about? Can you see that in the way that you interact with people at Red Hair? Kind of give an outsider view of that echo.
No, we absolutely love the opportunity to be able to work with Red Hair, and it's very interesting in the craft brew industry in general. I've been absolutely shocked with the collaboration aspects of this overall industry. They grew double-digit last year across North America, as an example, where you see, you know, legacy or mainstream breweries continue to struggle. So, like Roger shared earlier, you know, tastes are changing, and the craft brew segment has continued to capture that and grow onto it. And, you know, just seeing the grassroots aspect of how Red Hair has started in a basement and continued to prosper because they're so connected to the consumer. They understand what they're seeking, and in many cases that consumer has continued to evolve and change over time. And in many cases, we've just been able to latch on to a lot of interest of that. Specifically in craft brew, we've seen from brewmasters and of the thousands of craft brewers across the country these days, that there's a lot of interest in sustainability and portability and just really connecting to the consumer and understanding exactly what they're seeking. So it's not necessarily, say, Wall Street driving, a quarterly initiative that, a large brewery may need to do. You know, they're focused and they're asking about what their consumers are seeking. They're reaching out, trying new flavors and putting them out onto the draft handle and allowing people to come into their brewery 3 days a week to actually sample them and listen to the customer directly as to what that's about. It's absolutely refreshing. It's genuine, and it's fun to be part of it.
So you, in sort of your viewpoint, you mentioned a number of times being close to the customer. And so, Roger, how do you stay up on sort of emerging trends and stay close to your customers so that you can continue to grow?
A lot of times, if I'm not in our brewery, I'm in someone else's brewery. And it can be local. Last week, I spent a good portion of the whole week in breweries in Bend, Oregon, Eugene, Oregon, and Portland.
What a hard life.
Yeah. I was going to say, is it a community? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
All across the nation.
I'll give you a great example. Deschutes is one of the top 10 craft brewers in the country. They're a huge brewery, and they've been in business for about 28 years. I had some appointments with other breweries out there looking at some equipment. It sounds like it was just a real great, that's a fun trip. Yeah. But you're out there looking at equipment, you're flying, you're doing the whole thing, you're tired, and you want to get back here and put into practice some of the things you see. But I had a little time, and Deschutes is a huge, huge brewery in Bend, Oregon. I just went into the front desk, gave him my card, and said, look, I got a couple hours that I need to kill. I know you're not doing tours or anything, but if you could just have someone maybe show me around a bit. Guy came down, director of tours got me. I crawled under every vat. I went through every piece of equipment, introduced me to whoever brewer I wanted to talk to. If I had technical questions, I could ask them. Got back home. Their brewer down at their brew pub emailed me. Here's what we did on that beer that you were talking about. Here's how we do that. I get Bobby involved in it. Bobby's going out there. We're actually doing a collaboration beer with a brewery in Eugene, Oregon. For the
collaboration beer, so kind of what does that mean?
We came up with a recipe. We were out there as a team, our director of marketing, director of sales, Bobby, our head brewer, myself, back in December, early December. We met up with this brewery, Oakshire, which is a very well, not a big brewery, but a little bigger than us, but not much. But they're very well respected. You see their tap handles into every craft bar out in Oregon. We just happened to fall in with them, and we had made arrangements prior to going out. They took us back, and we started. And then all of a sudden, Bobby and Matt started, well, what if we did this, and what if we do an East meets West? And that's what we're doing.
Wow.
So Bobby and Matt cooked up a recipe, traded some ingredients. We actually had to buy some hops from them because we didn't have that hop here. So we traded some ingredients. They've already cooked the beer. I was out there and sampled that last week. And then Bobby's going to put the beer in, I guess, in about another week and a half here. And we're going to release it at local bars here, but it's also going to be released out there, and it's going to be a part of that. So it's, again, sharing all that information.
Yeah.
I've never been around anything like that.
So sort of the science of beer brewing, how long is it from the time sort of you start with an idea and then you're able to bring it to market?
Well, we bring beers in all the time, and we'll have taste panels, and we'll sit around a table or something. Or someone else, someone in the brewery, someone working on a packaging line. Hey, I tried this sour beer. Check this out. And so we'll get that idea. And then when we're out traveling, we try things. I brought beers back from Oregon last week of some strange stuff, but really unique and really good stuff. We keep working through that process. We create those beers. It takes from that point, we're already working on our spring beer for next year, and we have to, because we have to be that thought. We have to start cooking beers in small batches starting in October for the spring release and get it nailed down so that by December. So it's a long process. The normal daily process takes, if it's an ale is a top feeding warm yeast. An ale takes about 14 days from the kettle, boil kettle, to a keg. Our lager takes a little bit longer, about 21, 27 days from the kettle to the keg. Lager is a bottom feeding cold yeast, and it is a chemistry experiment.
Yeah, so getting your beer into restaurants and bars, et cetera. So what's that process to take it from, yep, this is great, and then getting it out for more mass appeal?
Again, we're very fortunate that we've hit something that's also hit a chord with the restaurant business, that food chains, grocery stores. Before we ever opened our doors, there was a new Whole Foods that opened on Johnson Ferry Road, and they contacted us, said, when can we have some of your beer here? So Kroger came to us two summers ago and said, so you're putting beer in cans? Can we get that beer on our shelves? Much different dynamic now. Mm-hmm. And that's why I want to go back to the Sweetwaters, the Terrapins, the Atlanta Brewing Company, those guys, because they did it in a time that growth wasn't like that. People, you had to go out and beat down a door to try to get anybody to take. Now, it's not that hard to get your beer out there, but what is becoming difficult is being able to keep your beer in front of people, because now there's so many mm-hmm. beers. You're in, next week you're back out.
Right.
So it's hard.
And so what is it that you do that helps you have that staying power?
You see our rabbit a lot. Mm. You see our rabbit a lot. Festivals, parades, little Five Points parade. We had a whole band of tuxedo and maid outfits on a bunch of people with rabbit ears on. But the whole end of it is the whole story. Our package, the sustainability, trying to be the eco-friendly guy that wants to do right, wants to get a pack, make a good beer, wants to do that, wants to be a part of the community, work with the community. We did last weekend. We had I don't know exactly. I've never heard of this before, but they've been there twice now in the last couple of years. But they adopt stray rabbits. So they came to the brewery last week, and they bring their rabbits, and you can adopt a rabbit to take home with you. And,
I love that.
There's mm-hmm. there's 200 and whatever 50 people came to the brewery last week, and for 2 hours, they were the rabbit folks, and we were the rabbit folks. It's really Taste of Marietta is going to be Sunday. If you go there now, that's our festival. I mean, all the banners are going to be red hair.
Gets the word out. So I sort of know the answer to this just because we had a chance to talk in the green room. So, Kevin, I'm sure you're wondering about the name.
I am definitely. I actually always have been wondering about
the
name.
Okay, so I'm going to let you ask Roger or the question because I know I have a little inside.
So how did you guys come up with the name Red Hair? And obviously the art on your bottles, too, is very inventive. It's very cool. It's very different than what anyone else is really doing.
Yeah, on our cans.
Yeah,
on
cans. Sorry. Yeah.
Don't want to offend Eric.
I always get the tap. So.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the brewery?
I have not been to Red Hair. Yeah. I'm ashamed to say that.
Yeah, yeah, I am with you. Kevin, we have to go.
I'm just going
to
go work there now. So.
Yeah. Yeah, there could be a place for it. You have to be the brewery. You have to come there three times before we tell you.
All right.
It's a very guarded secret. It's a very deep conversation. And when you show up the brewery for the third time and you can prove to me that that's your third visit,
I'll do it through social
media. So the
media.
Challenge is on.
It's
Kevin.
On. I mean, the gauntlet has been set.
It has been set. It has been set. I love that. And so for our listeners, the gauntlet's been set for you
Absolutely.
As well. And so hopefully when I hear some of you that have been listening to the show, you'll be able to tell us. So, Roger, where do you see, if we ask you next 24 months or so, kind of where do you see things going? Are there new and exciting things that you want to share with our listeners about what Red Hair is doing?
There are new and exciting things, Michelle.
every day.
I can't share all of them with you because it's such a liquid business, pun.
But insert here.
It moves so fast. Our growth since we started just a year, 2-3 years ago, our 306%. It's incalculable almost.
Wow.
We look at past numbers now. We can actually see trends now, and we can start looking at. We've got almost 3 years of sales history, and you look forward, and you see what it's going to. You really see it on paper what it's going to do. You just can't believe that's what it's going to do. So it's really been hard for us to plan because I just can't do that. I can't commit to trying to get that money together to do that, although I know it's coming, because I just can't get my arms around that kind of growth. So we're in a. I hope it stays this way for a while longer. I can't believe it can be like this for the next 24 years.
Right.
But for the next 24 months, maybe it will be. And there is a large expansion that we're planning. We've already had two expansions at the brewery, but we're going to have to do a large expansion. That'll start this summer.
I want to understand a little bit about how this explosive growth, Eric, feeds into your industry. But before we go there, so how do you and your management team stay far enough ahead with your planning and thinking strategic, but just in time enough to really be in tune with what's going on? That must be a big challenge.
It's an extreme challenge.
Yeah.
We try to look at all the sales numbers from all of our distributors. We're in three states now, and it's a little different in most states, but we had a launch in Tennessee back in February that's turned out to be very successful, and it's a challenge. We sort of see the potentials, and we look at things, but you just don't know until you get there. And there's two reasons, too, behind why it's really challenging. One, it's just to believe the numbers and then put the numbers to practice, but it's also our equipment. There's such a demand on our type of equipment that lead times are 4, 6 months, 8 months. So we can't, it's like turning a battleship. We can't decide, you know what, we need to go ahead and get the VAT in. We're going to get another fermenter and we need it next month. Well, we may need it next month, but it won't be here.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you have to think through that planning. Yeah. So how is this affecting, I know this is just one segment of the business that you're doing at Novelis, but how does it affect, you as a B2B organization when you are – one of your segments is just so fast growing.
Right, absolutely. It's very similar to what Roger said. You know, we're not exactly sure what that's going to look like down the path, not just for us, but, of course, the industry in general. As I shared earlier, we are really just trying to be innovative and sustainable in our goals moving forward, and that is really built into the overall Novelis culture. We've been able to support that by working with another, Metro Atlanta company that loves beverage cans as much as we do, and this is us getting on the map as much as the opportunity to be able to work within the craft brew segment. And, you know, in our conversations with Roger, he sees the value of being able to team with a larger organization like we are, knowing that we need other craft brewers to come along. Mainstream beverage providers that do have products in cans, they need to come on board so that we can then end up retrieving more aluminum, which then feeds the value stream for recycling centers and municipalities. We can then buy that back and continue to create more high recycled content aluminum that will be in day-to-day packaging. So, you know, the numbers continue to increase in aluminum recycling as well as recycled content, but certainly not at the levels that you see globally. So we as American citizens have an opportunity to do a better job with that. And, you know, part of our partnership with Rogers to be able to promote that. So besides really talking about, you know, a non-commoditized aluminum like Evercan, really we see the value of being able to take it to the next step and connecting with the consumer and allowing them to understand the value of aluminum instead of throwing it in a garbage pail. Let's put it in a recycling bin and watch that just continue to provide value and sustainability for years to come.
Yeah, so when I was thinking about this show today, I have actually a friend of mine from college, three guys on a monthly basis. They are doing some brewing just like you started out in your kitchen. And so I'd be really interested in sort of two ways to think of what sage advice you might give my friends, because I know that they're listening this morning. I teed them up. So the first is, what advice would you give for, you've got an idea, you think it can be something bigger, how do you sort of begin to take that to scale and move it out? What suggestion would you give?
You till the earth. Once you figure out that's what you think is right, then you got to validate it. Do the research, try to figure out if there's that sustainable use for that product, if there's a consumer pull for that product. And all those sound very corporate for a guy that's a brewer now, but that's still, you know, basic blocking and tackling. And if you can't do those things, that's not a good start. Then you have to have that real passion for the product and what you're doing. I've always wanted, and I've sold things all my life. That's what I did. But I always sold someone else's things. I always wanted to say it would be so cool to have a product that we make that we sell. And just so happens, this is the deal. And it's easy to be committed. We had an investor meeting, our annual investor meeting this past Wednesday at the brewery. Crowd of folks there. You start getting a little sweaty because, you know, now you're going to have to spill the beans on what exactly goes on. And there are really good people, but you look around the room, and this is where I get validated on what we're doing. And I think the brewing thing is this. I look around the room and look at the investors in our company. They're all very smart people. I don't have anybody there that I'd say, you know, he's here because he's just a family friend. Mm-hmm. They're all very intelligent. So they validate my thought that what we're doing is the right thing to do. And their palates have changed along with ours. They understand the value of being able to do what we do. Sage advice, if that's what you want to do, whatever it is, just do the homework first, and if it makes sense on paper, then put the paper aside. Don't work off that sheet any longer, and then just dig into the product.
Yeah, so do the foundation to make sure that it's a sound idea, but then once you do that, then you have to stay very focused on the numbers, but not so much. You got to get into the product.
Yeah, you got to get into the product then.
Yeah. So the other question that I would ask, for my friends. So, again, at the top of the show, you talked about you were in your kitchen, two of you experimenting, and you've taken that into a partnership that has a lot more complexities, I'm sure, than whatever you were dealing with that weekend in your kitchen. What would you say for you started out kind of maybe fell into it, but then you have to have that partnership and that trust and working together to really build a business. So how are you sure you set that partnership up for success? What tidbits would you give us?
Well, you want to make sure, one, partnerships are great, but partnerships are just like everything else. You can't have equal partnerships. Maybe a marriage is supposedly equal, but in a business, you have to understand what your suits are that you're better at and what the other person's. Bobby is a meticulous, introspective, understanding person. He has a business degree, but he's a very analytical person, and he's very detailed. And he fits that little mold. When you meet Bobby, you'll see what I'm saying. But me, I want to, you know, okay, if we're going to Mount Everest, we're going to go, and it's not going to be fun, but we're going. So, but you got to have that tempered with someone that'll do those other little details. And so what I've done is I surround myself with smart people. I'm not the smart guy. They're the smart guys. I just figure it out.
I think that makes you smart, though.
Exactly.
Knowing that.
Yes, exactly.
But just like our director of sales came out of the brewing business. He was born in Eugene, Oregon, a young guy, and he knows the trade. He just happened to fall into our laps. Our director of sales he's held global positions, and he's one of our investors, one of my good friends. So we lean on him heavily. Now, Bobby, heavily. Now, our biochemist, heavily. You just invest in people. Once you get an idea and you think it's solid, believe in that idea, but don't be afraid to be the dumb guy. let the other people be smart.
Yeah, but I think, as Kevin said, that it's not being the dumb guy. It's being smart enough to know you don't have all the answers and be willing to...
I don't know.
Putting all those pieces together.
Yeah. And so what advice, Eric, would you give for... our listeners, as they think about partnership and they maybe have a business where they see an opportunity to innovate, you know, what advice would you give in terms of partnership from the other side of a larger organization, you know, providing product to such a fast-growing industry?
Right. It's a large organization. I mean, what we have really continued to do is evolve our business. We know that as far as our competition, not just here in North America, but globally, we need to continue to change and challenge ourselves. So we've done that. And that's why we're focused on sustainability and innovation. But the key for us is really to make sure that we are partnering with those right people that have those very same ideas in mind. So, you know, Roger and the Red Hair Brewery here, we're local. We're able to collaborate and talk face-to-face on a regular basis. He's a great conduit for what we're seeking to be able to do with our particular product. But, you know, I think the key is to be able to align very closely with people of common values. And if you're able to do that, you can find those commonalities that need to be able to be built out. And then look at the business case from there. You know, who brings the best value for certain aspects, and see how your partner or collaborator can add to those aspects to truly have a competitive product in the marketplace. So, you know, I think that that's really the key, is finding those common elements and then working through it to truly find a point of difference that consumers would be truly excited about.
Yeah, so Eric, if our listeners wanted to learn more about Novellus and they want to learn more about the technology and the innovations that you all are bringing to the industry, how do they get in touch with you and learn a little bit more about what you're doing?
Well, we as part of our strategy to introduce Evercan, what we've done is we've actually reached out and gone to a lot of different conferences and summits. I've had the opportunity to be able to present the business case, and we're starting to see some real momentum. We're happy to be able to launch that with Roger, but we know that this is much bigger than our two companies of making this happen. So what we've really continued to do is we will continue to advertise with you know, a trade magazine specifically around packaging and sustainability. But in addition to that, certainly we've got a nice robust website. You can go to novellus.com/evercan if you want to learn specifically about this beverage offering of aluminum can sheet. But I certainly welcome everybody to gain a better understanding of Novellus in general and the other areas of the business that we're in. We also provide aluminum sheet in the automotive industry, as well as something that we define as specialties, which is quite special. So with that being said, you know, we've got a lot of information out there to gain a better understanding.
Great. And so, Roger, are there any events you talked about, Taste of... Marietta. What other places are you in the, you know, next couple of months, weeks that our listeners can tap in?
Michelle, this thing, when we started, there were probably a handful of beer festivals, a couple in the fall, a couple in the spring. There's a beer festival almost every week now. We were handing out cans of our beer down at the Dogwood Festival a couple of weekends ago. Taste of Marietta is going to have 60,000 to 70,000 people on the Marietta Square this Sunday from noon to 6. So there's something going on. Road, you know, we do a lot with bicycles, trail rides and stuff like that, road races. So there's so many places. And you can find all that on our website. You can go to website or you can do our Facebook page if you want to like our Facebook page. It's up to date. Elise takes care of all those things, our social media, the Twitter, the Instagram. So there's so many data points you can gather now versus just a few years ago. So, yeah, just go to our website at redhairbrewing.com.
I would, so since we've thrown down that gauntlet on the come for the tour, even though people can get that on their website, when are you open for tours?
Yeah, we do tours and private events, and we host a lot of private events. A lot of companies ask us, can we rent the brewery for an event? And we do that a lot, GE, Home Depot, Weather Channel, all those guys. But we're open regularly on Thursday afternoons, 5:30 to 7:30, Friday, 5:30 to 7:30, Saturday afternoon, 2 to 4.
And do you have to, other than the line, it's just first come, first serve?
Show up.
5:30 to 7:30.
Yeah, we'll get you in. You can come in and taste the beers. We'll take you out in the back and put a rake in your hand. You start moving grain probably, too.
Sounds good right there.
Yeah. So, Kevin, this has been enlightening. I'd be remiss, Roger, if I didn't ask you. So, being so much around beer every day, how often do you have a can of
well, red hair? You know, it's kind of like a doctor. I have a red hair a day keeps the doctor away. But I don't drink as much beer. I actually have lost 30 pounds in the last 4 months because I had to. So that sort of reduced my content or my consumption
intake
of beer.
Yeah,
the intake of the beer. But, I have a few beers a week.
It seems like the one job that you can work at it 80 hours a week and you still wouldn't get tired of it. You can still go grab a beer.
But you haven't been there. You know, you got to realize we get there. Our first brewer shows up around 4:45 in the morning, and they clean up usually around 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. So it's a full day. You know, but it's still, you know, it's
and we, a good environment.
It's still good. It's still gratifying even for everybody there to go out to a restaurant. You go down to your sports bar, you go wherever, fine dining.
I made that.
So it's still fun to do that.
And Eric, it must be very rewarding that when you are out and you see the rabbit ears and you see the products on the shelf, to know that your organization is a big part of the success and it's also doing good. So that must be good. So I'm going to close with the question I ask all guests at the end of the show. Think back to your 20-year-old self, and if you could give your 20-year-old self some advice, what is it that you would tell your 20-year-old self? So Eric, I'm going to
say, you're looking at me, Roger. I wanted some time to think about this a little bit, but what a challenging question. Mm-hmm. I would say that, I would say that I needed to take my college education maybe a little bit more seriously.
Okay.
20 years ago, you know, I was wrapping up and, an energetic person, really being able to take the bull by the horns and make a great career for myself. But I think in many cases it's that education and then relying on my faith to know that the good Lord's going to help me down the path. And as long as I do things right, we're going to be just fine. So, nonetheless, I've learned over the years, and, I probably wouldn't change a thing, though, because, that's all part of the learning experience, but certainly probably focusing a little bit more on those studies.
And yeah.
My parents would probably agree with that, too.
Well, I love that. I'm a person of faith as well, and so you got to do the footwork and then put it in his hands, and it typically works out. So Roger, what are you telling your 20-year-old self here this morning?
Do what you want to do first. Don't do it last.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, I've sort of stumbled into what I really wanted to do at my age, which is not young. Do what you want to do first. And you know, I always knew I wanted to put something in someone's hands that I made, not particularly beer. That just happened to be the vehicle. But do what you want to do first, because I think that's what will end up being the right thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you both so much for being a part of Growth Matters. I just ask our listeners, the gauntlet's been thrown down, and, lunch and dinner is coming, so there's opportunity to sample some of the good work of Red Hair. And as Kevin said, it's both whether you have beer or not, there's also opportunities for soft drinks and beverages. So join us here next Friday where we talk about all things growth. Because growth matters.